this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Salty, I ain't talk about chips. It's not your stadium. Don't be surprised if the cheese and all hard and get thrown the evil eye. For some, it's just a game, but numbers are never live. You ever seen this much love for a team in your whole lives? Screaming at the ref, wheezing out of breath, steaming out the neck like a life or death. That's how we bring it in. What you think?
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Sports Objective. We have two great guests tonight. Welcome in. First, let me start with my man Kyle Barber, who I know is fired up for the game on Friday. Kyle, how you doing?
What's going on, Matt? I don't know. Bubba threw it to you to host. I don't know what that's about. But welcome into the TSO locker room, Matt. As we sit here with Ryan Jones and Jira, how you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Guys, obviously, huge game on Friday. It goes without saying, the number four team in the country coming into Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. It's a hell of an opportunity. First of all, how fired up are you guys for this game? I mean, you could try to say it's just another game, but it ain't. Anytime the number four team in the country is coming to town, you got to have a little extra spirit in your step. Ryan, how fired up are you for this one?
I'm too excited. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's kind of rare. You don't get to play too many, you know what I'm saying, top four playoff teams each year. So, we get to do that on Friday on a big stage on ABC. So, I mean, it's just going to be, a great experience, a great game.
Guys, before we jump ahead into Cincinnati, we wanted to take a minute and recap that Navy game because it was just an incredible game to watch on TV. So many big plays back and forth. And, you know, Jira, I'll start with you. You know, now that you have, you know, obviously a lot of preparation went into the game defensively, what was it like, you know, when you lined up against Navy? What did you feel like you guys, did it take a little while to sort of catch up to the speed of the option system that they run?
Oh, no, I felt like it was okay. Most because I played in the game last year and then so, like, and the way we practice, we kind of practice a little bit faster and unrealistic than what it's going to be in the game. So a lot of times when we get to the game, the looks can be slower.
Good.
At least for me.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Did they throw any wrinkles at you that you weren't expecting in the game? Did they do anything different than you were anticipating? You know, in the week prior to.
I would say really just the way the slot back, we were expecting them to block, to arc for the safety most of the time. They kind of changed up their blocking scheme a little. That's really a big thing.
Jarrell, they passed the ball a little bit more than they have been the last several weeks. Were you guys expecting that with them coming off of an off week, them to work on their passing game a little bit? Not many passes, but compared to what they had been doing, they threw the ball. I don't know how many passes they had in the game, but it was certainly more than what they had been doing in previous weeks.
I know Coach said he expected in the past 8 to 10, and then a lot of them were like situational, so we kind of did anticipate it some of the time, but probably not as much as they did, though. They did throw it a lot.
Is it good to have that one behind you? I mean, you prepare for Navy a little bit all year, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, and their offense is so unique from what you're used to seeing. Is it good to have that one finally over with?
Yeah, I was getting tired of practicing that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then Ryan, on the offensive side of the ball, I thought you guys, you know, stayed on schedule most of the game. outside of one or two drives, I thought you were very effective. In the first half, you were really running the ball down their throat and then mixing in some play action and some slants, got you involved early in that game. You know, what do you see, Ryan, when you look over the last 3 weeks, the offense just seems more in rhythm. Everything just looks a little bit cleaner. You know, what's happening on offense right now to sort of, you know, spark this great play?
I would say just – I'll probably say our confidence. I feel like as an offense, we're more confident in ourselves and just we're more trusting of each other. And, I mean, I think from the previous weeks with us winning and everything, we can see, like, what we're doing is causing positive plays. So we're having great drives, and I feel like this the confidence aspect is just helping us finish drives.
Ryan, what happened on that last offensive possession after the running play when Holton was getting everybody lined up? It looked like he was supposed to spike the ball, and maybe he thought Houston was going to call a timeout. Do you know exactly what happened on that play?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure. I wasn't in on that one, but
You weren't in? Sure. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't in on that play.
Okay. Well, it all worked out. And when this is both of y'all, when y'all thought we were going to kick the field goal and it was 54 yards and Owen was going to kick it, how did y'all feel? I mean, how much confidence did y'all have he was going to make it? I mean, did you really – truthfully, now, don't BS the answer. Did y'all really think he was going to make it, or were you surprised?
I would say, I mean, I definitely put a prayer up. So, but I mean, I had trust that he'll pull through. Because, I mean, like he said before, I mean, he's had some, like the Memphis game before, he had a clutch kick for us. So, I mean, I know he could do it. But, I mean, I definitely put a prayer up.
Were you confident?
I knew he could get it there. It was just if it was going to be accurate or not.
Yeah, it had a lot of different factors.
That's all it was to me. I knew he could get it there easily.
Yeah,
that's all I was really worried about.
Yeah, coach. I don't think coach thought he could. By his reaction on the sideline, but it was that was. I mean, I know as a fan, and I can only imagine as a player how that felt to get a walk off like that 54 yarder that to have your kicker do it, walk off the field as winners instead of having to go to overtime. How was the locker room afterwards?
Crazy.
It was lit.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, yeah, I imagine. Feel like we've just been in a lot of close games like these past few weeks.
Yeah.
And not just to not have to – because, I mean, before we went to overtime, and, like, now it's just we're finishing these games and not having to do the extra time. So, I feel like everybody's just used up and everybody's just locked in on what we can do. And our potential.
Yeah. You know, guys, everything seemed to be going really well that game. And then, you know, I want to talk for a second about the kickoff return that kind of changed the game there for a little bit. Were you aware on the – when you? I don't know if you guys were actually on the kick return or the kick coverage team, but were you aware that – I think it was Tegan Wilk literally got tackled on that play. The refs threw a flag. And then they came back to midfield, consulted, and picked up the flag. It was outrageous. Did you see that when you were on the field?
No, I didn't. I didn't see it. When they threw the call, when they called holding, I didn't know who it was on.
Yeah. Have y'all seen it in replay? Not only did they hold Tegan, I mean, he was flat out tackled.
I mean, I saw it on the sideline. I mean, it looked bad. But, I mean, we kind of figured there's going to get some calls like that to go their way, so.
Yeah, but that's pick up flag, I mean, home field advantage is one thing, but that's flat out cheating. I know you can't say that, but I'm going to say that. When you pick up a flag, I mean, good God.
Unbelievable. I've never seen that happen before in that situation. And, you know, obviously you guys don't want to comment on this as players, but Navy, you know, kind of has a history of getting a lot of favorable calls. On Saturday afternoon, so I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we all respect the Naval Academy and what those guys do, but man, you got to call a fair game. We move past that when we look ahead, like we started the show looking at Cincinnati, number 4 team in the country coming to town. Like you guys said, you're obviously fired up. how confident are you guys? I mean, when you're playing a Cincinnati, I mean, you got to be confident. If not, you can go out there and get smoked. So, do you guys? We'll start with you, Jared. Do you guys on the defensive side of the ball? Do y'all feel confident going into this game against Cincinnati? Like you can shut them down?
Oh yeah, definitely. I never go into a game thinking like I'm gonna lose. Like I think we got it as long as we do what we're supposed to do. I think we'll be good.
Ryan, what are you seeing from their defense? We talked to their Steve Inigo, the guy who runs their 24/7 site last mm-hmm. night, and he kind of mentioned that they are a little bit susceptible to tight ends who can catch the ball in the middle of the field and maybe the slot receivers. If there is a weak part to their defense, and there ain't much weak about their defense. Yeah. Have you noticed that on tape as a tight end that you could can be successful against their defense?
Yeah, I mean, definitely in a lot of situations with them, they'll tend to leave like a linebacker on the safety, even split out wide. I mean, they play a lot of man, so really it's just about taking advantage of like their weaknesses. Like they said, they are like predominantly a man team. And I mean, they just have a lot of good athletes. They're a big team and fast, but I mean, I feel like we're prepared. And I mean, we still have that same confidence that we've had the last few weeks. So I think we're excited and we're ready to go.
Ryan, you played in the Big 12 at Oklahoma. How would you compare Cincinnati talent-wise to some of the good Big 12 teams you saw over the years?
Talent-wise, I mean, I'd say it's pretty matched. I mean, they have big guys that can run, and I feel like the Big 12, that's really all it is. I mean, it's a big passing league. So, I mean, if you have guys that can play in space and that can cover and tackle as well, like, that's all the Big 12 is. We don't really have too many big guys for real. That's more like SEC.
Right.
Jira, when you look at Cincinnati's offense, Jira, are they doing? Is it that they're just extremely talented, or are they running a scheme that's different from what you see on a weekly basis? It seems to me when I watch them, they're just very physical. They don't do anything too complicated, but they do it really well.
Now that's all it really is. There's nothing like extraordinary about what they run. They run the same. It's like the same as all the offense we've been seeing, like Memphis, Houston. They run all similar stuff: screens, zone read runs, vertical passing game. It's all basic offense. It's really, like you said, just they're more talented than a lot of teams they play, and a little bit more physical at times. So just it helps them win games. It's nothing really about their scheme.
Yeah,
and talking about their offense, one thing that that I've noticed watching since he plays, their quarterback, kind of a dual threat guy. He can pull it down and run it. How do you handle that when you play a guy that's a dual threat that can pull it down and run it? As a defensive player, how do you prepare for that aspect of the game?
I mean, when it comes to the passing wise, the coaches just stress like the keep your passing lane. Never get behind the quarterback. And then for the run game, defensively, just always making sure that when they run the zone read where he might pull it, there's always somebody responsible for the quarterback and all the fits to make sure that he doesn't get loose. So that's really, as long as everybody does their job, somebody's always going to be responsible for them. It's just staying disciplined.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, when I watch them, the biggest challenge they present is Ridder. Ridder's deceptively fast. You know, he doesn't look incredibly fast, but he's kind of a long strider, and he does make a lot of plays with his legs. He really does. There'll be situations where it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, and the defense thinks they're about to get off the field. And then, he'll make a play where he just sort of escapes the pocket and takes off. So I think that, I'm sure that's something you guys are looking very closely at this week.
Yeah, we're definitely aware of his ability to run. So like I said, just really staying disciplined, your passing lanes, keep him in the pocket.
Yeah. Guys, just for both of you, what would this game mean to you if you guys can win it? I mean, if you win it, it's a win over a top four team. You guys won't even – forget the top story locally. You'd be the top story on SportsCenter. You'd be the top story of the day in college football, probably of the weekend, if you knock off Cincinnati. I mean, Is that something you guys even think about, or is it all about just winning the next one and it just happens to be Cincinnati?
Well, I say for me, I mean, it's definitely something that's in the back of my head, because I feel like all the work that we put in, I feel like, I mean, Cincinnati is a very beatable team. Yes, I'm saying the Tulsa game where they almost lost, and like a few other teams that they played, and I feel like that, like the Memphis, like the Navy game, like playing those two games, that's really prepared us to play them, because we just saw a fast offense and defense from Memphis, and we just saw a super physical Navy team. So I feel like just all the work that we put in, and I feel like just the way that everyone's playing right now at such a high level, the way that we're clicking, I feel like we should be getting this win. We should have a good game on Friday. So, I mean, it would mean a lot to knock off the number four team in the country. So, yeah, that's how I feel.
Do you guys embrace that sort of that chip on your shoulder? Like, one of the things that's made East Carolina so great, you know, over the last 40 years is – We find ourselves in that underdog role a lot of the time. And, you know, we talk a lot about this chip on our shoulder, right? And that always meant a lot to me as a player there. Like, I loved situations walking into a stadium where we were the underdog, because felt like we were playing with house money. There was nothing to lose. So you play fast, you play loose. Do you guys have that feeling this week where you're kind of just, you know, you're the underdog? A lot of people around the country aren't giving us much of a chance. Are you just embracing that chip on your shoulder a little bit?
Just a little bit. I mean, Coach, he said that when we came back Sunday, like, we have nothing to lose, so it's on us just to go play. All the pressure's really on them, like, in terms of what they're playing for. They have a lot more to put for than we do, obviously, but yeah, it's really, we have nothing to lose. Just go out there and do you, like Coach is saying, and just let the game handle itself.
I'm gonna say the same thing as Jarrah. Like, we just have to play loose. We can't be tight, because I mean, this is a big ball game, but it's still just a football game, you know. I mean, it's no different. We're in the same conference. These guys do the same stuff we do, and like Coach Houston always says, like, I mean, I can speak from this perspective because I've been out of different school. Coach Houston always says we work harder than any other school, and I can attest to that. We do work harder than I'm not going to say where I was at for sure, but we work extremely hard. So everything that we've been doing and putting in, the work that we put in, I feel like it's going to help us. And it's just another ball game, so we just got to kind of play.
You know, one thing I had talked about, and this is, again, coming from a fan, probably something y'all hadn't thought about, but, you know, if we beat Cincinnati, then being number four, and then we go win the bowl game as a 9-win season, now you're just beating a top five team and potentially probably an ACC opponent in the bowl. This program could still finish the season at the top 25. I mean, when you beat the number four team, you're going to start getting votes that week.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's like – I feel like our main focus now is just like finishing out the season as strong as we can. Because, I mean, like all that stuff, that always just comes with winning everything. But I feel like right now we just focused on just handling what we can handle right now.
Now, one thing I will mention to you guys as we start to wrap this up, don't want to look past the Cincinnati game, obviously. But, you know, obviously we know we're going to a bowl game. A lot of – Ryan, I believe it was you we talked to earlier. We had mentioned Myrtle Beach, and you said you wanted to go somewhere further. All signs are pointing that we may head right back to Annapolis to the Military Bowl. Is that fine with y'all, or would you still rather go somewhere else, or does it matter?
I just want to go somewhere warm.
Yeah, that's really all I'm – that's really all it is.
I feel
that ain't Annapolis.
That ain't Annapolis. No joke.
I just want to go somewhere warm.
Yeah.
All right, so they do not want the Military Bowl against the ACC opponent. Does opponent matter to y'all? I mean, do y'all want to play a Power 5 team, or
I do.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Well, that would be the advantage of going to the Military Bowl. You get shot on ACC.
Like, the colder bowls, like, would be the bigger games.
Yeah.
But I'd rather go somewhere warm than over playing You know what I'm saying? Or yeah. go somewhere I haven't been and play maybe a lesser team than I would go up to Boston and play like Virginia Tech or something.
Yeah. Downtown, the Gasparilla Bowl, is that a – did you say a SEC team? Was that
it's an
team playing Missouri?
It's an ACC or SEC team in the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa. So that could be a Missouri or a Louisville.
Cool, that's a perfect situation. Yeah, right,
I'm cool with that.
Best of both worlds.
Hey, look, let John Gilbert know. Y'all don't want to go to Annapolis.
I'm shocked to hear you guys say you don't want to come to Boston and play in the Fenway Bowl. So it's going to be like 20 degrees up here, man.
Boston at the end of December? Nah, I can't. I can't.
Matt won't say because it's an easy drive.
Yeah, that's a quick drive for me, fellas. So I wouldn't be disappointed, but I understand as players why you'd want to play in the warm weather. I mean, I played in bowl games in Memphis, Tennessee twice. It was freezing. I mean, we froze our ass off in practice all week.
Yeah.
So I get it. Trust me, I get it. The Gasparilla sounds – if I was a player, I'd probably be leaning to that one, I have to admit.
I do have an interesting scenario for y'all. You know, Florida State, if they beat Florida, is going to get to 6-6. Could y'all imagine? Y'all talking about y'all going to play in cold weather. If you take a Florida school and put them in Annapolis or Boston against you guys, at least y'all can go outside right now and experience the cold. That could be a huge advantage.
Florida State.
I think they might have bigger problems than the weather. So
you think Florida State? You think so?
Yeah. That's just my opinion on it.
I got you.
Just kind of shifted focus back to the Cincy game for a minute. You know, looking at their secondary, it's interesting. Two of the highest ranked corners in the country right now, Kobe Bryant from Cincinnati, and then your teammate, Jaquan McMillan. So, you know, two of the highest rated corners in the United States right now. Mm-hmm. What do you see from that secondary? I mean, they've done an incredible job limiting explosive plays this year, kind of keeping everything in front of them. They have some lockdown corners. I mean, are those guys as good as advertised?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have some. They're athletes. I mean, they're fast and they have length. I feel like a big part of that is like I feel like guys have kind of shied away from trying to throw at them, which has also kind of played a part in it. But I mean, they have a great defense. I mean, they have a D line that can rush the passer and cause error throws and stuff. So, I mean, it's definitely a defense that we have to take serious. I mean, they have a good secondary. And, I mean, we have found mismatches and stuff. So, I mean, we'll be able to exploit some things. But, I mean, it'll be a good game from us.
Yeah, no doubt. Bubba, I think you want to chime in there. Sorry, Kyle.
Yeah. Obviously, Ryan, you're not going to dive too deeply into it, but – that is something when we were talking to Chad Brendel from Bearcat Journal. He's their equivalent of Stephen Igo, if you will, from their 24/7 sports site. We were asking him, you know, from his perspective, from the outside looking in, the inside looking out, if you will, you know, what would he say as far as attacking the UC defense? And he said that some opposing tight ends have had pretty big games. So hopefully you'll be able to have another one on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, even I think it was like, 2 years ago, I think CJ put like 260 on it. I mean, they have the same guys. So it's just about us making plays against their playmakers, you know? So, I mean, it's going to be a good physical ball game. Guys has got to make plays.
And then last year up there, even though we didn't fare well, Keaton Mitchell, Keaton ran for over 100, so he obviously has some confidence against him as well.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think Keaton had something like 125 yards on maybe about 15 or 20 carries.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's really good.
Yeah, a lot of it was early and then late, kind of the middle of the game. Kind of not as much, but first quarter and fourth quarter, Keaton had some success running against him.
And a lot of it was outside runs, so that's something I'm interested to see, given that success a year ago, to see. And, you know, very much, Ryan, kind of going back to that Navy game, that first drive when we went right down the field, we were specifically attacking that left side, and Keaton with some outside runs. Had you guys seen something on film, I'm sure that, you know, said that's where we need to go early?
I wouldn't say we've seen something to that extent to where it's going to be like, this is exactly how we're going to attack them first off, like straight off the bat. But I feel like it'll probably be, like as the game goes on, we'll kind of see where certain weaknesses are from different aspects. But it all depends on how they play us, because, I mean, they play certain teams a little more zone and other teams more man. So we just got to see how they play us, and then we'll just make adjustments as we play.
Right. I was talking more in retrospect about Navy. Had you seen something with Navy? Because I noticed specifically it was outside runs to that left side with Keaton.
Yeah. I think it was more so just like kind of running the boundary, because they kind of –
gotcha.
There's also like a field, like covering the field.
Right.
So just took it to the boundary.
Gotcha.
Guys, as we start to wrap this up, Mars, obviously Thanksgiving. What's the plan for Thanksgiving? I'm assuming you guys, well, obviously you guys are going to eat as a team. You'll see your families, I guess, this weekend. So what's the plan? They're going to have a traditional Thanksgiving meal for you guys, or can you eat a meal that big right before game day?
Yeah, we're going to have a Thanksgiving lunch tomorrow afternoon, about like 12, 1 o'clock. And then just go to the hotel later on.
Yeah. We really won't have like a Thanksgiving until like the weekend.
Gotcha.
Yeah, can't eat all that and play on Friday.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you guys two things I'm really hoping for. Thinking about this game, I'm really hoping to see the defense gyro just absolutely flying around, just playing incredibly physical, making plays. Can't wait to see you flying around, Gyra, laying some hits on people. And Ryan, what I'm hoping for you is that, you know, because the corners are so tough on the outside, I'm hoping that's going to free up the middle of the field a little bit for guys like yourself and Snead and Calhoun, because I think that's somewhere where they're a little susceptible. So just can't wait to see you guys play on Friday.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Ryan, Gyra, we will see you at the 50-yard line as we all rush the field. If you guys upset us.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate y'all.
All right, appreciate it. Guys.
Go get it, guys. Go get it.
Yes, sir. All right, good luck, guys.
All right. Good stuff, all right.
All right, there's Gyra Wilson and Ryan Jones there at the TSO locker room as they prepare to hopefully pull off the biggest win in terms of ranked team in power football history. I mean, I don't know. That's something we didn't mention to those guys. I wonder if they realize that this would be the highest ranked team that the Pirates have ever beaten.
Hmm. I'm sure some of the guys do, but most don't.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows if they even care? But I know. I think West Virginia prior was as we mentioned earlier, was number 8. We beat them, and then I think Miami was 12 or 9, something like that, when we beat them those 2 years. So
when Matt was on the team in 96, I know they were ranked 12th when we went down to the Orange Bowl and won 31-6. And then in that 1999 game, they were ranked 9th when we came back and beat them in Carter Finley Stadium. And then that West Virginia game in 2008, Bill Stewart and the Mountaineers, they were number 8. When we beat them soundly that day, right after we beat number 17 Virginia Tech in Charlotte to open the season.
Yeah, old Bill Stewart, RIP to Bill Stewart. I liked him. Yeah, not the best coach in the world, but a really nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those things, you know, where they were winning 8-9 games, and they felt like by firing him and bringing in Dana Holgorsen, they're going to be able to take it to another level, obviously.
Yeah, and
a little greedy.
Yep. Well, guys, I got supper sitting there on the table waiting for me. I don't know about you two, but hey, you guys ready to wrap it up, or is there something else we need to address?
There is one thing I want to bring up very quickly that we were talking about earlier off the air this afternoon.
Bring that up on the air, Bubba.
Yeah, Bubba, don't bring that up.
No, we realized that last night on the preview that we had not talked about the Cincinnati special teams. So Cincinnati has blocked at least one, I think two punts. So that's something to keep an eye on. Fortunately, we've been pretty good in that area, but it's still an area to certainly take into consideration going into Friday's matchup. And then also Cincinnati's place kicking. I think they've used three different kickers, which is odd in itself. And with them using three kickers, it's not surprising that they've struggled. And inside of 40 yards, where Owen Daffer has been essentially automatic, 16 out of 17, with that only miss coming in the rain against South Florida. Cincinnati, I think I told you the numbers. I don't have them in front of me now, but I think it was something like three out of eight from that 30 to 39-yard range. So if we do have a close four-quarter game and the defense can bend but not break, keep an eye on the kicking game, see if Cincinnati may go for it. It's a little more than you may expect.
Would you, Bubba and Matt, before we wrap this up, knowing that they struggle with the kicking game, would bend but not break almost be your philosophy? Would you be more conservative and not blitz as much so you don't get – so there's not a big of a chance to give up a big play? Keep things in front of you, almost coach the guys up, look, just keep it in front of you. Then when they get in the red zone, you know, bust their ass. Would you be a little bit more conservative between the 20s?
I'm certainly very interested to see how Coach Harrell and the defensive staff approach it, because Desmond Ridder, you know, he's been through the wars, so to speak, in terms of seeing about everything you can probably see as a quarterback. So we're going to have to pick and choose our times very carefully. You know, very much like against Memphis, even in Memphis, that was a very young quarterback. And you saw how we backed off blitzing because he was making us pay a couple of big plays. So you would certainly think that Ridder and the Cincinnati offense had that potential if we don't do an excellent job of disguising it and then, you know, really, really bringing it at the right times.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, one of our objectives should be to get this game into the second half, you know, and if that means we need to be a little more conservative on defense in the first half. And like you said, Kyle, just kind of keep everything in front of you. Now, I'm not saying we don't run our scheme and we don't play aggressively, but I just really believe if we can get this game into the second half where it's very close, maybe we have a lead, all the pressure shifts to Cincinnati. So it's going to be interesting to see how we play it. And I think more than anything, I'm looking for early in this game, I want to see how we match up physically up front, because that's going to tell the story.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, guys. Well, I don't know if there's anything else that needs to be brought up. Bubba, did you want to mention our promotion we have coming?
I was going to plug that right quick. Obviously, before I do that, either Friday evening or Saturday evening, we will have our weekly show, the Pirate Football Playback, as we take a look back at the Cincinnati game and then look ahead. Maybe we've already had a bowl announcement. There has been some rumors circulating that there could be a bowl announcement after the game on Friday, so we shall see. But we'll have
that. I think Ryan and Jira are going to try to put a stop to that.
Yeah, especially if there's those two locations. But, you know, if it is one of those, I'm sure they obviously showed that they can do what they need to do. And you know, it could be definitely colder than it was their day in Annapolis, but it wasn't exactly a balmy day, so we showed that we could do what we need to do in cooler weather. But you know, stay tuned for our Pirate Football Playback. And then in addition to that, like Kyle was alluding to, we have four tickets to Friday's Cincinnati game, 3:30 at Dowdy Ficklin. Stay tuned to our social media, but those tickets will be won by subscribing to our YouTube channel. Very much like our season ticket promotion back in August.
So subscribe to our YouTube channel, screenshot that you've subscribed, and then send it to us on any of our social media, whether it's emailing it to us at thesportsobj@gmail.com, or you can just send it to us on Facebook Messenger, or we'll have it pinned to our Facebook page. Also, we'll have it pinned to our Twitter account, Instagram, you name it. Reach out to us on social media showing that you've subscribed on YouTube and you put your name into the hat. In addition to those four football tickets, we'll also have two sets of four basketball tickets for the men's game against Coppin State on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And then we'll have two sets of four women's basketball tickets that we're giving away for the women's game on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock as they host Campbell.
Yeah. And I would say this about the giveaway for those football season tickets. As you said, as Bubba said, you need to screenshot to show that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching this, chances are you may already be subscribed. Pass it along. If you know some people out there that maybe don't watch or listen to the Sports Objective, but maybe you know they would like to go to the game, get some free tickets, tell them what to do, and pass the word along. Tell them how they can win free tickets to the game. Spread the word. If you're watching and listening to this, and your neighbors, your friends, your cousins, your uncles, your aunts, whoever may want to go to the game, they're going to be in town for Thanksgiving. Tell them what to do. Tell them how to do it. Show them how to do it. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, and then let us know you did that.
And also, if you're currently a subscriber, I just thought about this because of what Kyle is saying. If you've already subscribed, show us that you've already subscribed, and you can put your name into the hat as well, because we appreciate you having already done so. And we have Johnny Robertson chiming in on Facebook, and he says, "Happy Thanksgiving, Bubba, Matt, Kyle, and Dave. Thanks for doing what you do. I enjoy it. We appreciate you tuning in, Johnny." And that goes for
Johnny. It was good to meet you at the airport after the Memphis game the other week.
Yeah, Happy Thanksgiving, Johnny.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Johnny, as well as all of our loyal listeners and viewers. Certainly appreciate each and every one of you, whether you're a member of Pirate Nation or not. Obviously, most are. But if you're just a neutral observer and a viewer, we certainly appreciate you tuning in as well. But until next time, until we join you on the Pirate Football Playback, either Friday evening or Saturday evening, for Matt Semenza, Kyle Barber, obviously the absent Dave Richmond, I'm Bob Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to the Sports Objective in the TSO Locker Room. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode.